Well, some of us get our money in our women. Some of us get our money in our men. Some of us get our men in our methamphetamines. Oh, my God. We're not going to focus a whole lot on that story tonight, but we do have a little sound montage that we're going to play for you here in just a moment. There are much more important things. The only reason I bring up this Reverend Ted and his whore, Mike Jones, is for comic relief, all right? Anyway, Brad Friedman is going to be on the program in a few minutes to warn us, and we're going to chat about what kind of voter fraud and voter nullification to expect next week. So stick around for that. How much worse can it get for Republicans in general and the Bush crime family in particular? You know it's bad when card-carrying neocons like Richard Perle and Ken Edelman and a whole crop of them are calling the Bush crime family dysfunctional, out of control, the worst since the end of World War II. It's in the current issue of Vanity Fair. It's online, vanityfair.com. You've got to read this. We're going to be quoting from it tonight. I don't know what to make of this. I really don't. These are the people who Richard Perle and Edelman, Rubin, the rest of these people who orchestrated. Now they're denying that they had anything to do with being the architects of the attack against Iraq. But it's a very strange read, and I think it's because they understand that a day of reckoning is coming, and they just don't want to go to The Hague to be put on trial along with Bush and Cheney. What else we got here? Isn't just like the Bush crime family, if you can't stop the nightmare you've created in Iraq, at least you can stop the bad news. Just fire the Oversight Department. Did you read that in today's New York Times? The guy whose job it has been to keep track of everything, the guy who has blown the whistle on a considerable amount of fraud caused or perpetrated by Dick Cheney's companies, has been fired. It's just like their policy toward reporters who are not, quote, embedded, close quote. If you can't buy them, shoot them. And too bad they didn't shut it down before the story came out about the nuclear weapons plans up on the Internet. There's nothing I can say that can underscore that particular story. I'd like to hear the neocons call up and defend that one. The Bush crime family decides that since there are no weapons of mass destruction, they're going to publish these old nuclear plans that Saddam Hussein had 30 years ago. So they put them on the Internet where America's enemies can sit there and go, oh, is that how you do it? All right. Tab A into slot B. Add a dash of plutonium. Okay. Now bring this coil down here. Okay, now, Jesus God. Tell me again how the Republicans are making us safer. Publishing nuclear weapons how-to guides on the Internet. And Raisin Brain, Chuckle Nuts, this treasonous rat that's in the White House would have you believe it's the Democrats who are a danger to national security. This is unbelievable. Oh, and speaking of compassionate conservatives, which I wasn't, but I'm sure you read about how tiny day-old American citizens, little babies born here in the good old USA, won't have access to government medical programs, Medicaid, if their parents are illegal immigrants. Did you read about that? This is a bill that Bush signed, I guess a couple of months ago, the major part of which was written by a real Georgia cracker named Charlie Norwood, who's a dentist and a member of Congress. That's right. They would do anything to save a fetus. But a child born of illegal parents, illegal immigrants, I should say, illegal parents. Oh, Jesus, they've got me saying it. A child born of immigrants who do not have the right documentation, and I believe in correctly documenting immigrants. Don't get me wrong. My grandfather had to do it. By God, other people can do it. But aside from that, the babies that are born, right? These are Republicans. They love those little unborn fetuses squirming around on the end of a tube inside their mother. But let the baby be born and screw you. That baby is an American citizen. And the Republicans say no. No hospital care, no nursing care, no Medicaid, nothing. Isn't that nice? American children. The newest American citizens. Look, if we don't want them to be American citizens, then change the law. Babies. Babies sucking in their first breath. They need a natal care, postnatal care, birth care. Nope, they're not going to get it. Now, as you can imagine, the American Pediatric Association is outside of its own skull screaming about this. We'll talk about it. Isn't that love? Isn't that nice? Aren't you Republicans? Aren't you Christian neocon Republicans so happy with your party? Isn't this lovely? So let's get the ball rolling. Have we got time here? We got time to do it? Is this? Can you stretch this break a little bit? You can stretch this break? All right, let's do it. If we notify Phoenix here, we're going to stretch this break just a little bit because we want to get the ball rolling with a little ditty by that new country western group, Haggard and the Man Whore. Where's Jeff Gannon to report on this kind of crap? Still busy with Scott McClellan and Karl Rove, I guess. Okay, here we go. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
There was a sexual act that took place?
That's right. Yesterday, he didn't even know me.
Yesterday, he didn't know you.
Never had a gay relationship with anybody.
You know, who's more credible if I've had sex with Ted Haggard? That's the reason he contacted me to begin with.
I did call him.
And what did you call him about?
I called him to buy some meth.
I did not provide him the meth.
And who were you buying the meth for?
No, I was buying it for me, but I never used it.
I don't do meth at all.
I threw it away.
He admits also buying methamphetamine and right. Throwing them away. Your response to that?
Well, you know, what I smoked it but didn't inhale.
At what point did you decide to throw away the meth?
Right after. I never kept it very long because it was wrong.
You ever see him use it with you?
Absolutely.
I was tempted. I bought it, but I never used it.
He did use it, according to you?
Absolutely.
Have you ever used meth before?
No, I have not.
The more of denial that he gives, the messier it looks.
I went there for a massage.
He said he called me for a massage. At that time, I was advertising as an escort.
And did you ever have sex with him?
No, I did not.
We did have sex.
You did have sex?
Yes.
How did you find him to get a massage from him?
A referral from the hotel I was staying at.
He said he got it from a hotel, possibly from a concierge.
I'm not listed with any concierge, but okay. About 3 years ago, he called me and said his name was Art from Kansas City, and he wanted to hook up with me, and so we arranged that, and he came to my apartment.
I'm steady with my wife.
And we continued seeing each other about once a month.
Never had a gay relationship with anybody.
I've been gay all my life. He touched millions of people.
When was the last time you spoke to Haggard or had any interaction with him?
It was in August when he was calling me to indicate he wanted to send me some money through the mail.
So I don't know if this is election year politics or if this has to do with the marriage amendment.
Here's a man who's married, who's up there preaching to millions of his congregation against the gay marriage amendment.
I'm faithful to my wife.
He's going behind his wife's back seeing a gay man for sex. Felt like I owed it to the gay community to expose the hypocrisy.
Ah, thank you, Jesus. The number one hit tonight, ladies and gentlemen, from Haggard and the Man Whore. There it is. Not that there's anything wrong with sex in general or any kind of specific sex, as long as it's between consenting adults. Who cares? Well, I'll tell you who cares. Reverend Ted really cared. Didn't he? Huh? These right-wing hypocrites, and that's what this is about. This is not anti-gay. This has nothing to do with homosexuality and everything to do with hypocrisy. My God, I get sick of these people. Well, Reverend Ted, and I'll tell you what, Reverend Ted, I know you're not listening to the program, but maybe somebody will tell you that this was said on the Malloy program. You're going to hell. There's certain things, according to the Bible, certain things that are beyond redemption. And having oral sex or gay sex or anal sex is beyond redemption. It really, that's what it says in your book of Leviticus, pal. It says that people who do that should be murdered on the spot, right? Are you ready? Are you ready to be killed? If your parishioners had any faith in the Bible that they say they follow, they would take you out behind your huge, multi-million, huge temple and church and cut your head off. Because you have committed the ultimate sin, Ted, according to you, not according to anyone else. Most of us look at gay relationships as we just drop the first part, gay. It's just a relationship, just people trying to be in love, trying to struggle until some evil son of a bitch like you comes along and tries to make it evil.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. I just can't get over the Reverend Ted thing. I really can't. And again, it's a hypocrisy. It's purely the hypocrisy. That's all. It's astonishing to me. What I have noticed, though, is that in instance after instance, Jimmy Swaggart, Tammy Faye's husband, what was his name? Not James Baker, but whatever it was. This freak, all of these religious, these Christian, fake Christian, moralists, leaders, television preachers, evangelists, whatever you want to call them, whenever they're caught, you know, the first thing they do, they act like children. Not 2-year-olds or 3-year-olds, because Molly doesn't do this yet, but you know, like a 4-year-old or 5-year-old, when they're caught, I didn't do it. The infantile attitude of these people, and I apologize for saying what I'm about to say. If you're a devout Christian and you really believe in your faith, but what I have found in so many instances, especially with males who claim to be Christians, is this infantile attitude that daddy is someplace up in the clouds. You know, and you got to please daddy, and you can cut deals with daddy sometimes. And, you know, daddy may kill someone that you love, but that's because daddy works in strange ways, his wonders to reveal. And it's that daddyism, that infantilism that seems to just saturate evangelical Christianity that turns my stomach. It just, you know, I want to say to someone like Haggard or Swaggart or Baker or some of these Bible-pounding television evangelists that, whether they're on here in Atlanta or they run these mega churches, you know, when are you jackasses going to grow up and face your own mortality? When are you going to do that? When are you going to stop acting like a 4-year-old? When are you going to start talking about spooks flying around in the sky and angels this and dead people that and spirits and you hear the voice of God? You're so delusional. You know, go to a secular humanist psychologist, if that's not triply redundant. Go to a psychologist, say you hear voices, like Bush. You know, Bush says God told him to invade Iraq and Afghanistan. That denotes psychosis, a deep psychosis, one that's almost incurable, without resorting to massive, massive drug therapy, and probably institutionalization. But invariably, when these men, middle-aged, 90% of them white, these evangelical, Bible-pounding, scare the devil out of everybody preachers, whether they're in the mega churches or some roadshow ministry like this T.D. Jakes freak that comes to Atlanta every once in a while, and he's not going to come back till 08 because he didn't make enough money last time. Black preachers, white preachers, most of them are white. Most of them are white. Most of them are Southern or Southwestern. And they're infantilized. They're like little children. Oh, don't do that, but it's okay if I do. No, I didn't have sex with him. No. Yeah, I got some methamphetamine, but I threw it away. Threw it in the street. I threw it down. As soon as I had it in my little hand, I threw it down. Why? Because it's bad. I threw it down because it's bad. And it reminds me of the story in Genesis of Cain and Abel. After Cain murdered Abel. And, you know, God comes strolling through the garden or whatever and says, "Yo, Cain, where's your brother?" I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? I don't know. Maybe he's over there behind the haymow smoking crack. God, I have no idea. I don't know where he is. Why? It goes all the way back to that, doesn't it? But there he was today, and as soon as we go to the next commercial, and we come back, I'm not talking about this anymore, because it just turns my stomach. It turns my stomach every time one of these events happens. It's not the gay sex that turns my stomach, and it's not even the use of methamphetamine. If these freaks want to burn out their guts by using these horrendous drugs, have at it. It just cleans out the gene pool a little bit. Get off my planet, Haggard. What gets me is the hypocrisy. And the deceit and the lies. I watched some interviews with some of his parishioners today, some of the people that belong to this huge mega structure out there in Colorado Springs.
Well, it doesn't influence the message, you know, where none of us are perfect.
Oh, stop it. Of course it influences the message. It is the messenger. What are you, crazy? If it isn't, then you better start telling me that Jesus is irrelevant. Because he was the messenger, right? These people are disgusting.
Oh, Mommy, I didn't do it. I didn't do it, Mommy. Yeah, I had methamphetamine, but I threw it away. And Mike Jones and me? No, we didn't. He gave me a massage. Well, I guess you could call it a massage. I was getting rubbed. But I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. I didn't.
Mike Malloy Show, you are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
Did you hear Bill Crowley's report? If you're getting your news via Nova M internet feed, you heard Bill Crowley at Air America talking about the VFW endorsing this guy named Roskam over a Vietnam vet, or I'm sorry, an Iraq vet, a woman, Tammy Duckworth, who was a helicopter pilot. And lost both of her legs. Duckworth is a Democrat, of course, and Roskam is a Republican. I can't understand that. It's just I don't know. It is shameful to the VFW in Illinois. You people are just, I don't know. You're shameless, aren't you? My God. Under a new federal policy, children born in the U.S. to illegal immigrants with low incomes no longer entitled to health insurance through Medicaid. That's what Bush administration officials said yesterday. Huh? You like this? Now think about this. I'm an American citizen. You probably are, too. One-day-old American citizens, little boys, little girls, whose parents are not American citizens, who are, in fact, in this country, without proper documentation, can now be left to die, according to George W. Bush. That's right, just left on the street. Now, that's probably not going to happen because there are doctors out there who still believe in the Hippocratic Oath, and there are a few hospitals left, most of them nonprofits, who will not turn away a woman who is about to give birth. Doctors in hospitals say this policy will make it more difficult for these little babies who are U.S. citizens to get health care in the first year of life. Well,
you know, the whip has to come down somewhere, right? I mean, after all, our southern borders are just being swamped by these Spanish speakers. And, we got to bring the axe down somewhere. Let's not bring it down on corporate America. No. They want the cheap labor. Let's bring it down on the newborn babies. This is why, for the rest of my life, until I suck in my last breath, and if I have the strength, when I suck in my last breath, and if I have a chance to say something, my family's gathered around my deathbed, I'm going to say Republicans suck. This is why I hate them. This is why I hate them. These cretins will go out of their way to whine and scream as they violate a woman's privacy who may or may not be pregnant. They don't even care, don't even know anymore. They want to go after birth control now, or the so-called morning after, or Plan B, or whatever the hell it is. But a real, live, breathing human baby. Now, they will send all kinds of threats to the government of Mexico. Let's pick on Mexico. The government of Mexico will be told, we're not going to send you funds for family planning unless you absolutely protect the fetus. Well, most Central American countries already do, and Mexico, because it is so heavily influenced by the Catholic Church. So, you know, family planning, no. Rubbers, you want rubbers? No, we're going to give you rubbers because, that's violates God's law. A newborn American citizen in El Paso? To hell with her. Let her die on the street. Let her die on the gutter and be flushed away. This is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. Now, up until this new law, once a woman received emergency care under Medicaid for the birth of her baby, the American citizen, that baby was deemed eligible for coverage as well. And states had to cover the children for 1 year from the date of birth. Oh, we can't do that. We need to shuffle. We can't afford it. We need to shuffle more money into the pockets of Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld and the rest of these evil monsters who are killing our soldiers and killing soldiers and civilians in Iraq. They want to kill our young men and kill our little babies. Now, you've heard me, if you're a regular listener to this program, you've heard me refer to the Bush crime family as pro-death. And if you thought that was just a turn of phrase, kind of a cheesy, are you kidding? Are you kidding? These people worship death. Bush administration, Bush crime family bastards said this change was necessary because of a new law called the Deficit Reduction Act. Deficit Reduction Act, signed by Bush last February. The law didn't mention newborn babies, but it tightened documentation requirements because some lawmakers were concerned that immigrants were fraudulently claiming U.S. citizenship to get Medicaid. So who suffers now? The people who set this up, which is corporate America? Do you think for 1 second that our southern borders would be flooded with immigrants if these rapacious thugs who run American corporations paid a living wage that Americans could go to work for? No, they wouldn't. The borders would be secure. So take it out on newborn infants. Oh, my God. Are you a Republican tonight? Are you listening to this program? Or probably not. You probably heard the first part of this story and ran screaming into your closet to pray to your baby Jesus or something, right? Huh? You can't handle this, can you? Now, New York Times today quotes Marilyn Wilson, a spokeswoman for the Tennessee Medicaid program, who said, quote, "The federal government told us we have no latitude on this. All states must change their policies and practices. We will not be able to cover any services for a newborn until a Medicaid application is filed. And that could be days, weeks, or months after the child is born." What happens if the baby's born choking? Oh, my God. This is your Bush administration for you. Do you want me to stop the program so we can all sob and rend our garments now? That's what I feel like doing right now. Babies. 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 And they're American citizens. This is what Bush has done. Doctors and hospitals are denouncing this policy. And they say it was not required.
by the new law. Dr. J. Berkelhamer, president of the American Academy of Pediatrics, said the policy, quote, punishes babies who, according to the U.S. Constitution, are citizens because they were born here, end quote. Dr. Martin Michaels, pediatrician in Dalton, Georgia, said that continuous coverage in the first year of life is critical, important because, quote, newborns need care right from the start, end quote. No kidding. Dr. Michaels went on to say, quote, some Americans may want to grant amnesty to undocumented immigrants. Others may want to send them home. But the children who are born here had no say in that debate. And this miserable son of a bitch, Charlie Norwood, Republican of Georgia, representative, was the principal architect of this new law. Republicans. Republicans. And Dr. Berkelhamer, the president of the American Academy of Pediatrics, said the new policy, quote, will cost the healthcare system more in the long run because children of illegal immigrants may go now without immunizations, without preventive care, without treatments needed in the first year of life. So doctors and children's hospitals and advocacy groups, the people that speak for the poor, people that speak for the newborns, and I'm not talking about the anti-abortion pissants. They couldn't care less after the baby is born. Have you ever doubted that? When you've heard liberals say, you know, they only care about the fetus, they don't care when the baby's born. Have you ever heard that? And you said to yourself, no, that's not true. Couldn't be true. Here it is. Here it is. I happen to know, I've met Charlie Norwood. He's a Bible-believing Christian. He goes to church. When he runs for election every 2 years, he'll tell you that he believes in his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What did Jesus say? Suffer the children, little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. The innocents. And Charlie Norwood has written a law, this Republican, and Bush signed it, that will murder, kill, brand new little American babies. Sarah Rosenbaum, who's a professor of health law at George Washington University, said, quote, this new policy reflects a tortured reading of the new law and is contrary to the language of the 1984 statute, which Congress did not change. The whole purpose of the earlier law, passed with bipartisan support, was to make sure that a baby would not have a single day's break in coverage from the date of birth through the first year of life. End quote. And George Bush and the Republicans and Charlie Norwood have decided that they are going to see that newborn babies, American babies, are denied medical care. You evil sons of bitches. Do any of you people listening to this program now wonder why I call these thugs evil? And why I use the profanity that I use? How can you read a story like this, find out about something like this, and not just go berserk? She's not a doctor. Kimberly Belcher, Secretary of the California Health and Human Services Agency, said, quote, by virtue of being born in the United States, a child is a U.S. citizen. What more proof does the federal government need? And you, Republican, are going to go vote for this evil cabal of demons again? Why? You're going to be like the Illinois VFW and endorse a Republican over an honest Democrat? And you're going to vote for the party of death again? Why?
the man conservatives love to hate, it's Mike Malloy.
It's about 9 before the hour. Coming up next hour, bottom of the next hour, Brad Friedman's going to join us. Bradblog.com. That when I read that this morning about the Medicaid wants citizenship proof for infant care. What more proof do you need? If the baby is born in a bloody squirt right on the steps of a hospital and the parents can't get in because of what Bush has done. I mean, what more proof do you need? I'll tell you something, truth seekers. This country under Republican leadership has truly just about lost its soul. I listened to the feed from our Phoenix flagship station, KPHX, and there's a spot, an announcement, a promo running on that station. I don't know how many of you hear it, but it's talking about how, you know, you'd think that the votes had been cast and the counting was over and the Democrats were in charge again. Don't be lulled by that. This promo goes on to say, you've got to get out and vote. And I'm telling you, we watched the HBO special last night. Kathy taped it and we watched it. We went to bed and watched it about hacking democracy. And yeah, it scares the hell out of me. And I think Diebold should. I think the executives of Diebold should be put on trial for treason. Can you do that anymore? Is that just becoming a cliche? I guess it's just becoming a cliche. So much of corporate America can do any damn thing it wants to do, and walk away with blood dripping off their clothes, and look back and say, "What, me? I didn't do anything." We are in a real, I think, at a real crossroads. I really do. And I think a lot of people in this country are aware of that. I'm going to ask you not to, don't give up. Don't think that, we're screwed because the machines are all buggered. And, Cindy Sheehan has got something planned here. A demonstration starting next Wednesday, I guess, if anything goes wrong with this vote. Or if there's any attempt to invade, for example, Iran or whatever, you can go to the website and find out about this. And from my heart, I mean, I've had enough. I really have had enough. And if I feel Wednesday that this election was stolen again, then I'm afraid my time of just sitting behind this microphone and talking is going to be over. I don't mean I'm going to quit. I'll continue to. I don't know if you can do a talk show from jail, though. But that will tear it for me. I've got a 2-year-old. I have adult children. I have grandchildren. And I will not allow this to happen a fourth time. It happened in 2000. It happened in 2002. It happened in 2004. This is 2006. This is my line in the sand. And I hope you feel the same way. You know, we're a country now that has at its head someone who will sign a bill, a political party who will write the bill, and someone who will sign the bill that says a baby born here, which instantly qualifies that baby as an American citizen, is to be denied medical care, all medical care, if the parents don't have the right documents. We're a country that has allowed a group of killers to take over. Why are we in Iraq? Does anybody have any reasons anymore? What's his name? Was it Tom Friedman this morning? No, not Tom Friedman. There were two editorials on the, it was Tom Friedman, insulting our troops, insulting our intelligence. It was one of the op-ed pieces in New York Times. If you read that, if you read Paul Krugman's column in the New York Times today, not that Krugman did not support the war, but what's his name? Friedman did. Krugman ends his column today by saying, yet Americans are still fighting and dying in Iraq. For what? And we've asked that question over and over and over again since before the war began. You know, us peace freaks, us anti-war dribbling liberals, huh? Millions of us. And nobody listened. This Medicaid demand for citizenship proof for newborn infant care, this is inhumane. I think this story is the one that finally broke my back. This was it. From these filthy people who claim to be pro-life. If you want to read the story, you're listening online, go to New York Times today. Today's paper. It's right there. Just read it. Just read it. And see if you can stop the bile from rising in the back of your throat. This is the kind of country we have become under the Republicans. Now, we can change it very easily because this is not who we are. This is not America. I know a lot of cynics out there say, yes, it is. That's who we have become totally. No. We've been asleep. We haven't been paying attention for the longest damn time, 20 years. We allowed these evil people to steal our republic, to pervert morality and decency and justice to the point where it's unrecognizable anymore. But I'll tell you what, Truth Seeker, and I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, gay, straight, black, white, Jew, or Gentile, if you can let this story ride, that newborn, brand new babies, American citizens, are to be not denied medical care if their parents don't have the right documents, so that these sons of bitches in Washington can continue their slaughter in Iraq, then truly, you're doomed. Don't let that happen, okay? We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Email here from Andre. What you just reported about the children is blowing my mind. Was Stalin this bad? Was Herod this bad? With the wave of the pen, Bush now will murder newborn babies. Any death by this law is on his hands. Yeah, but they just don't look at it that way. You know, this is the deficit reduction bill. Can you believe that's what it's called? The deficit reduction bill. You know how to reduce the deficit, don't you? Start taxing the ultra wealthy in this country to the extent that they were taxed before this sick administration took over. Oh, you know how to do it. Vanity Fair. A guy named David Rose wrote this. There's a massive article coming out, but it's not going to be out until after the first of the year. And he's gotten all these quotes, and Vanity Fair, his editor and publisher, obviously wanted to get this out. In a series of exclusive interviews, real mass killers like Richard Pearl and Kenneth Edelman and David Frum, And these other people who designed this attack and occupation of Iraq are playing the blame game here with what David Rose calls shocking frankness. And their number one target is George Bush. Let me just quote some of this. Pearl is
the hawk, who is chairman of the Pentagon's Defense Policy Board Advisory Committee, had invited the exiled Iraqi felon, Ahmad Shalabi, to its first meeting after September 11th, to the Pentagon Defense Policy Board's first meeting after September 11th. Pearl says now, the levels of brutality that we've seen in Iraq are truly horrifying, and I have to say I underestimated the depravity. Listen to this son of a bitch. He's talking about the brutality and the depravity that he underestimated. Who is this? Who is this guy? Is he God? Pearl now says and he adds that total defeat is becoming a total defeat of the United States. An American withdrawal that leaves Iraq as an anarchic failed state is becoming more likely. And then he says, quote, you'll get all the mayhem that the world is capable of creating. No, you evil bastard, that you and your policymakers created. According to Pearl, this unfolding catastrophe has a central cause: devastating dysfunction within the Bush administration. Pearl says, quote, the decisions did not get made that should have been. They didn't get made in a timely fashion, and the differences were argued out endlessly. At the end of the day, you have to hold the president responsible. I don't think he realized the extent of the opposition within his own administration and the disloyalty. Well, Pearl, I'll grant you that. I'll agree with that. You evil child killer, you mass murderer. But it was you slimy slug that helped set this policy. You. Pearl goes on, he goes so far as to say that if he had to do this over, he would not have advocated an invasion of Iraq. Do you hear that, Truth Seeker? For the almost 3,000 families who have suffered the death of a loved one because of this insanity, now Richard Pearl says, well, okay, if I had to do over, I wouldn't do it again. He's quoted as saying, I think it would, he says, quote, I think if I had been Delphic, you know, the oracle, and had seen where we are today, and people had said, should we go into Iraq? I think now I probably would have said, no. Let's consider other strategies. Now, I got to be careful what I say here, because when I read stuff like this, there's a part of me that becomes real medieval. David Frum, the former White House speechwriter who co-wrote Bush's 2002 State of the Union address that accused Iraq of being part of the axis of evil, says it now looks as if defeat of the United States is inescapable because, quote, the insurgency has proven it can kill anyone who cooperates, and the United States and its friends have failed to prove that it can protect them, end quote. This situation, he says, must ultimately be blamed on failure at the center, starting with George W. Bush. David Frum, another lying, squirmy son of a bitch that took this country into an illegal, uncalled for, unjust war. David Frum, another name that's got to go in the dock. Kenneth Edelman, lifelong neocon activist and Pentagon insider who served on the Defense Policy Board until 2005. He's the one who wrote that Washington Post op-ed in February 2002 that said, quote, I believe demolishing Hussein's military power and liberating Iraq would be a cakewalk. That's Kenneth Edelman. Now he says, quote, I just presumed that what I consider to be the most competent national security team since Truman was indeed going to be competent. The Bush team. They turned out, he says, to be among the most incompetent teams in the post-war era. He's talking about World War II. Not only did each of them individually have enormous flaws, but together they were deadly, dysfunctional, end quote. Do you hear what they're saying now? With 2,800, 2,900 dead Americans officially, hundreds more. Tens of thousands of American soldiers with body parts blown off, condemned to half a life, a third of a life of what they would have had these evil, evil, evil vampires not set us up for this. Do you hear what they're saying?
The article goes on. Fearing the worst is still to come, Edelman believes that neoconservatism itself is dead. Really? Is that what you fear, Edelman? The writer, David Rose, goes on. He says, I spent the better part of 2 weeks in conversations with some of the most respected voices among the neoconservative elite. What I discover is that none of them is optimistic. All of them have regrets, not only about what has happened, but also in many cases about the roles they played. Their dismay extends beyond the tactical issues of whether America did right or wrong to the underlying question of whether exporting democracy is something America knows how to do. I will present my findings in full in the January issue of Vanity Fair, which will reach newsstands in New York and L.A. on December 6th and nationally by December 12th. In the meantime, Rose writes, here's a brief survey of some of what I heard from the war's proponents. Back to Richard Pearl, quote, in the administration that I served, that was Reagan's, there was a one-sentence description of the decision-making process when consensus could not be reached among disputatious departments, and that was, quote, the president makes the decision. Bush did not make decisions, in part because the machinery of government that he nominally ran was actually running him. Michael Ledeen, American Enterprise Institute Freedom Scholar, another neoconservative monster who hates this country. He's quoted as saying, ask yourself who the most powerful people in the White House are. They are the women who are in love with the president. Laura Bush, Condoleezza, Harriet Myers, Karen Hughes. Are you listening to this? Are you listening to this? Frank Gaffney, an assistant secretary of defense under Reagan, founder of the Center for Security Policy, quote, Bush doesn't, in fact, seem to be a man of principle who's steadfastly pursuing what he thinks is the right course. He talks about it, but the policy doesn't track with the rhetoric. And that's what creates the incoherence that causes us problems around the world and at home. It also creates the sense that you can take him on with impunity. End quote. Yet enough? Well, stick around. There's four or five more. These are the people who sent us into war with their lies and their deceits. And listen to these rats now. Listen to them. They need to be arrested and held in a prison somewhere so that when the time comes, they can be put on trial. Oh, my God.
I don't care what it is. I will step right in it. Or I'd vote for Bill Bennett. They'll take over the world if we let them.
And when Americans learn to speak a language, learn to speak Arabic, those in the Arabic regionals say, gosh, America's interested in us. They care enough to learn how we speak.
Twenty-one past the hour. All right, we're quoting from a soon-to-be-published article in Vanity Fair by David Rose, who is a contributing editor at Vanity Fair. The article will not be out until December, but it is so explosive what is being said, and I'm sure the editors of Vanity Fair wanted to get this out before the election on the hope that this will influence the way people vote. And the quotes here from the people who designed this war, everybody from Kenneth Edelman, Richard Pearl, David Frum, the list goes on and on. You've heard these names. Michael Ledeen, Frank Gaffney, Michael Rubin, and now they're saying, oops. Here's Kenneth Edelman. Quote, the most dispiriting and awful moment of the whole administration was the day that Bush gave the Presidential Medal of Freedom to former CIA Director George Tenet, General Tommy Franks, and Coalition Provisional Authority Chief Jerry Paul Bremer. three of the most incompetent people who've ever served in such key posts. And they get the highest civilian honor a president can bestow on anyone. That was the day I checked out of this administration. It was then I thought, there's no seriousness here. These are not serious people. If he had been serious, the president would have realized that those three are each directly responsible for the disaster in Iraq. End quote. Can you believe this son of a bitch is saying that? Kenneth Edelman, one of the designers, is now laying it off on three more incompetents: Jerry Bremer, George Tenet, and Tommy Franks. Okay, David Frum, the speechwriter. Quote, I always believed as a speechwriter that if you could persuade the president to commit himself to certain words, he would feel himself committed to the ideas that underlay those words. And the big shock to me has been that although the president said the words, he did not absorb the ideas. And that is the root of maybe everything. End quote. Michael Rubin, former Pentagon Office of Special Plans and Coalition Provisional Authority staffer. Quote, where I most blame George Bush is that through his rhetoric, people trusted him. People believed him. Reformists came out of the woodwork and exposed themselves. Rubin adds, by failing to match his rhetoric with action, Bush has betrayed Iraqi reformers in a way that is not much different from what his father did on February 15, 1991, when he called the Iraqi people to rise up, and then his second thought prevented him from doing anything once they did. End quote. Richard Pearl. Quote, huge mistakes were made, and I want to be very clear on this. They were not made by neoconservatives, who had almost no voice in what happened, and certainly almost no voice in what happened after the downfall of the regime in Baghdad. I'm getting damn tired of being described as an architect of the war. I was in favor of bringing down Saddam. Nobody said, go design the campaign to do that. I had no responsibility for that. End quote. Elliot Cohen, director of the Strategic Studies Program at the Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies and a member of this corrupt Nazi Defense Policy Board, quote, I wouldn't be surprised if what we end up drifting toward is some sort of withdrawal on some sort of timetable and leaving the place in a pretty ghastly mess. I do think it's going to end up encouraging various strands of Islamism, both Shia and Sunni, and probably will bring destabilization of some regimes of a more traditional kind, which already have their problems. The best news is that the United States remains a healthy, vibrant, vigorous society, so in a real pinch, we can still pull ourselves together. Unfortunately, it will probably take another big hit. And a very different quality of leadership. Maybe we'll get it. End quote. Kenneth Edelman, and here's the last one. Quote, the problem here is not a selling job. The problem is a performance job. Rumsfeld has said that the war could never be lost in Iraq. It could only be lost in Washington. That's not true. We're losing in Iraq. I've worked with Rumsfeld three times in my life. I've been to each of his houses in Chicago, Taos, Santa Fe, Santo Domingo, and Las Vegas. I'm very crushed by his performance. Did he change, or were we wrong in the past? Or is it that he never really challenged before? I don't know. He certainly fooled me. Well, of course, the part that leaps, end quote, the part that leaps out of me there is Rumsfeld has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 homes? You evil sons of bitches. I swear, there's a day of reckoning that is going to hit you people like an avalanche. Every single year, but they're just puppies. Yep, 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 yep. They need to stop their yips, the big dogs will
over here. I will rule the world forever. I'm straight and white and male American and free.
Condoleezza, check my pussy.
Hello, Riley. Devolt Systems, Master Sturch is me.
Democrat approach comes down to this. The terrorists win and America loses.
Oh, man. You know, on top of everything else, what I just shared with you from the Vanity Fair pre-article, on top of all of that, earlier this week we learned that Internal Department of Defense documents warn that Iraq is falling into chaos. That was their word. And Bush still refuses to remove Rumsfeld. Yep, going to stand by this doddering psychopath while simultaneously striking the phrase stay the course from his cue cards. They ain't going to say that anymore. The only thing that could make it worse would be if these killers published nuclear weapons how-to guides on the internet. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. So do you feel safer yet, Truth Seeker? How about you Republicans? Do you feel safer? Do you realize what this man has done? Do you realize what this man has set up for your children and your grandchildren and you? Do you understand? Maybe not. You're going to follow? You're going to continue to follow his directive, Bush's directive, and vote for more of this? Because Republicans will keep us safe? Oh, my God. Speaking of voting, Brad Friedman is on the line with us. Hey, Brad.
How are you?
I don't know. I could be okay. Ask me Wednesday.
Well, you know what? Just hearing you back ranting and raving sounds good to me.
Yeah. Well,
somebody's got to.
I was reading at bradblog.com. The leaked 2003 report of Maryland's Diebold voting system reveals serious security concerns were withheld from election board, the governor, and the public. Is this in addition to or separate from or in tandem with hacking the vote that was on HBO last night?
Totally separate deal, but related. It refers to Maryland, which was one of the first states to bring in these godforsaken voting machines. Across the state of Maryland and Georgia, actually,
right,
brought in these machines. And early on, it was revealed that there was problems when the source code for the systems was downloaded after Diebold had left it sitting out there on an unsecured internet site. Problems were found by Johns Hopkins University, and so this study was commissioned by the state of Maryland to find out if, in fact, what Johns Hopkins, Professor Avi Rubin, had to say was for real. They came back with this report. It was a 200-page report, apparently detailing all sorts of security flaws in the system. And before it was released to anyone, Diebold and Linda Lamone, the election director out there in Maryland, changed the report, redacted it, made items seem better off than they apparently actually were when you compare it to the original document. And this original 200-page study was released as a 38-page study.
Oh, my God.
And no one has seen outside of really Diebold's offices and Linda Lamone's office, no one has actually seen this damn report until now. And she didn't even share it with the rest of the Board of Elections out there or the governor of Maryland. And, in fact, in those 3 years since, of course, these very same machines that the study found to have all sorts of security flaws have been allowed now to go out all over the country and will be in first use in many states this November 7th.
Okay. This sounds to me then, and I think it would sound this way to anyone who is still rational in this country, two words, we're screwed.
And I don't want to believe that, because I said earlier on this program, Brad, you know, I've seen three elections stolen now on various levels. Presidential, two presidential elections absolutely stolen, governorships, senatorial races, representatives. And this is kind of my line in the sand. I'm not a big macho guy. I tend to stay by myself and just, you know, try to raise my two-year-old. But I swear to God, if this one is stolen, Brad, there's got to be a response from the American people. There has to be. And I'm not talking about calling some damn 800 number to report irregularities at your local precinct. I mean, there has to be a response. So let me ask you.
Yeah.
Knowing what you know and the research that you have done over the years, where does this leave us?
Well, it leaves us with a complete and utter mess. I've been reporting on this stuff for about 2 years, trying to get folks to pay attention. Suddenly now, I mean, if you look at the headlines today in virtually every paper across the country, you know, meltdown expected, chaos at the polls, disaster looming. Well, we knew this for, you know, the last 2 years at least. Where does it leave us? I'm concerned about where it leaves us, Mike, and that's why I'm asking folks to be, you know, vigilant in advance, to bring video cameras with you when you go to vote so you can document these.
But what is it, Brad? I mean, this is, we're talking about proprietary software. What am I supposed to document?
Well, you can, for one thing, you can document, we're getting reports now of touchscreen votes flipping all over the country, Florida, Missouri, Texas, Ohio, Arkansas, people going in to vote. So far, every report I've seen shows folks trying to vote for a Democrat, it flips to a Republican or sometimes a complete straight party ticket.
You're talking about early voting?
Yeah, I'm talking in early voting, which is already underway.
Right. Oh, yeah. It ended today here in Georgia. We've had it for the past week. And Kathy and I were going to go, and Kathy's mother went and said that when you go in, it's not a paper ballot. It's touchscreen.
Well, that's right. And it was Maryland and Georgia were the first two showcase states.
Oh, I know.
To have these things. And there is no way to go back and verify anything in Maryland or Georgia or the other states that have paperless touchscreen systems. Keep in mind, those that have touchscreen systems that do have these so-called voter-verified paper trails, the little toilet paper roll next to the machine,
right,
those can't be verified either.
I
talked to someone down in San Diego who was watching early voting today where they're using these systems for the first time. They've got a paper trail, but guess what? Voters are not instructed to check those paper trails, and in fact, even if they tried to, we've got so many initiatives on the ballot here in California. The ballots are apparently scrolling by this tiny little view window before you can actually see, if you bother to look, before you can actually see if it's accurate or not.
Well, you know, one of the basic rules of computer science, garbage in, garbage out, it doesn't make any difference what's on those rolls.
Yep.
If the interior system, if the program has been set for, like, negative voting, negative vote totals.
Yep.
If it's been set to record every fourth vote, if it's in a Democrat for a Democratic candidate.
Right.
So help me out here, Brad, please.
I wish I could. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, just the same question. What are we supposed to do? I'm coming to you, pal.
It is that bad. That's why I've been screaming, running around with my hair on fire. It is that bad. And keep in mind, even if you have those paper trails, they don't use them. They use the numbers that come off of the machine. It is that bad. Now, there is a few things you can do. For example, California now, the Secretary of State has said that folks can request a paper ballot if they want. I don't know that that law applies in Georgia or Maryland.
Oh, it damn sure doesn't. No, doesn't apply down here.
Right. No, you guys are screwed. That's the bottom line, and I wish I could come on with better news. Now, that said, let me make clear, if you don't vote, they don't have to steal it because you're giving it to them. You've got to get out there and vote. That
right.
said, it's still an absolute disaster on the ground. People need to be vigilant. They need to be on the ground on Election Day. They need to watch and see how these votes are being tallied at the end of the night. But again, where you've got systems with no paper whatsoever, like Georgia, it is an utter disaster. And, you know, I hate to point this out as well, but it was up in Maryland, the election director, Linda Lamone, she's a Democrat. Down there in Georgia, Kathy Cox, Secretary of State, a Democrat as well. She's on the Diebold brochure, for crying out loud. This goes beyond, way beyond left and right. This is, you know, as I always say, this is about right and wrong. And frankly, these elections officials have bought into the crap that the voting machine companies have been selling them, whining and dining them. They've asked, the officials have now asked for, you know, millions of dollars from their counties and states. And they're in a place where they can't admit they were wrong because it's going to mean their job. That's the only thing these officials do, you know, is essentially choose what kind of voting equipment they're going to use. And they have made disastrous decisions. We, you, me, the voters, we're paying for this now, you know, not just with money, but with our votes. And these guys have got to be run out of office. And frankly, they need to be put in jail because this whole damn thing is a criminal enterprise at this point from top bottom.
It is indeed. And as you know, your friend Greg Palast has been on this the same, not necessarily to the degree that you have, but he has been, you know, clanging the cowbells and blowing the whistles like you have. I want to ask you a couple of things when we come back. We got a break here. What we can expect in addition to this crap next Tuesday, Brad. You know, I kind of believe what Greg said and what you just said. If they're going to steal it, make the sons of bitches really steal it. You know, turnout. Let's get an 80%, 90% turnout of Democrats. And then if they try to steal it, you know, we may be able to defeat whatever they have written into this program, unless they have written in to steal every vote, which I don't think they could. Our guest is Brad Friedman, bradblog.com. Go to his website during the break here and look at this report on Maryland's Diebold voting. We'll be back in a second.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. We're talking with Brad Friedman, bradblog.com. All right, I want to ask you, what else can we expect on Tuesday, Brad? What dirty tricks, in addition to stealing the election, are they going to hide voting machines like they did in Ohio? Are they going to make people wait in line for hours to cast ballots, phone jamming? Sending out phony letters telling Democrats aren't registered. Let me see what else. Neocons disguised as fake insurance, INS agents outside the polls in Hispanic precincts. And what can you tell us about those magic yellow buttons on the Sequoia machines?
Okay, well, first let me answer your first question. The answers are yes, 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 yes.
Oh, God.
Yes. And it has already begun, by the way. The Washington Post is reporting that there's actually a booklet which tells Republican election judges how to challenge voters when they go to vote out there in Maryland, and how to threaten poll workers that they will go to jail if they don't follow their instructions. They are gaming this system every way from top to bottom. You know, you had mentioned about, you know, the importance of voting. Well, the fact is, Republicans win when Democrats don't vote, and that means whether they don't show up to vote at all, or whether they're you know, purged from the registration lists, or kept waiting in lines. They don't need to game these systems. These systems are so bad that state after state, in primary election after primary election so far this year, thousands of voters have been turned away simply because the damn things don't turn on, or they haven't shown up at the polls because they're still sleeping in from their sleepovers the night and week before, that they send these voting machines pre-programmed home with poll workers. Down in San Diego, they will have been at poll workers' houses for 3 weeks prior to the election, giving those poll workers a full 3 weeks to find the 60 seconds it needs to hack these systems. I expect a meltdown on Election Day. Mike, I'm going to be broadcasting, you know, with our friend Peter B. Collins that night into the wee hours of the morning, hoping you'll join us that night.
Where are you going to be broadcasting? I'm going to be on the air an extra hour. I'm usually on 9 to midnight Eastern time, but I'm going to join one of the program hosts at a Phoenix station, KPHX, and do an extra hour with her, which will be from midnight to 1 a.m. Eastern time, and then she's going to take over on her own from 1 to 2 Eastern time. All Eastern times now. Where are you and Peter B. going to be?
Well, I think we sent an invitation, by the way, to KPHX to pick us up after you guys are off the air. We're going to be on a number of affiliates, the AIR affiliates, and on the Internet, whiterosesociety.org. You'll be able to stream it from velvetrevolution.us will be the main place to go to see where we're going to be. But we're on in Sacramento,
well,
up
see if,
in Anchorage,
see if,
Alaska. All
see if you can work it out with with our excellent engineering staff at KPHX. I want to say KPCH. There's a Peach radio station here in Atlanta. God, KPHX. If you can work it out with Billy, I would love to join you guys periodically.
Yeah.
And have that reverse. It would be nice to do something together.
Well, we're going to be, I know that a lot of folks have folks at your old place, Air America, the folks at Pacifica, they've all asked me to be on standby for them. So if I'm doing interviews with some of those folks, we're going to cross broadcast those. I would love to do that with you. We're making this available to anyone who wants to pick it up off the satellite feed or off the internet for free. It's our election night meltdown.
Well, this is a good idea. Greg Palast is going to be on my program as well. We just need to try to make as much hookup as possible here, because this Tuesday night coming may be a moment, Brad, that either will be something to be very, very happy about or something to be extremely alarmed and reactive about. I'm trying to not be melodramatic, but I swear to God, the feelings in this country, when you have a president and a president with an approval rating of around 30-something percent and a Republican Congress with an approval rating around 18%, and if these sons of bitches wind up holding on to their majorities, then I think it's very clear that, once again, the elections were stolen. If these machines are rigged to steal a million votes, then Democrats are going to have to show up to the tune of 2 million, and I'm using, just representational figures there, in order to overcome it. And of course, this is what Palast has said, and I think you probably maintain the same thing. If these bastards are going to steal it, then we're going to have to turn out to somehow defeat their attempt to steal it. Because otherwise, Brad, I'm not very optimistic about what's going to happen in this country. The laws are in place right now to take people like you and me and lock us up.
Yep.
And all it takes is to define what you are doing or what I am doing or so many of us on the liberal side of the equation to define what we are doing as interfering with the smooth operation of this government or whatever the terms are.
Well, you're right.
Look, you and I would both qualify.
Oh, I know. I hope my cell is next to yours and we can chat.
No, that's not going to happen. We may qualify, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to pull a Charlton Heston on them, when they pry this out of my cold, dead fingers.
Attaboy.
Oh, my Attaboy. God. I will go medieval on these sons of bitches so fast, Brad, and I know I won't last, but I'll tell you something. This is my country. This is my constitution. This is where my kids and my grandkids live. And no, man, no, ain't gonna happen. Ain't gonna happen.
Well, bless you, man. I will be watching your back as best as
Thank
I can.
You.
I'm
Thank
sure
you.
You'll do the same for me. Real
I
quick,
will. I will.
Running out here. Let me toss this out. 1-800-1888 vote tip. Velvet Revolution is offering a $500,000 reward for fraud on these systems. And
right.
Never mind the fraud, the damn things don't work. So
stand up for your democracy. 800-VOTE-TIP. All right, Brad, we will talk Tuesday. 888-VOTE-TIP. We will talk Tuesday night, okay?
Thank you, my friend.
Take care. Take care, Brad.
Brad
Friedman. Go to bradblog.com. Check it out. We'll be back after this break. We're going to take some phone calls. I'm Mike Malloy. Hello, Art?
Yeah, this is Art. Listen, will you rub me? Got any crack?
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. I'm Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in. The phone number here is 800-989-1480. We have an awful lot of stuff that we didn't get to tonight, but it's time to do some phone calls. Way past time to do some phone calls. So let's move in that direction, starting with Mike, who's calling from Illinois. Mike, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hi, Mike. Great to have you back.
Thank you.
As promised, I have updates on the races in the 10th and 8th congressional districts in Illinois.
All right, let's hear it.
First in the 10th, Dan Seals currently in the polls has a 2-point lead on Mark Kirk. Now, Mark Kirk has run completely on local issues. His mailings don't even say he's a Republican. Mostly, they just say that he's against Internet predators. You think, who wouldn't be? But then he's coming out with ads that say, Dan Seals is for Internet predators, which really was a thing on his website where it was one of those bills where the main thing is cutting taxes for the rich or something like that. And then
right.
It says, oh, by the way, we don't like Internet predators. And then he's completely gone after that. But anyway, Dan Seals.
Predators like Republican Congressman Foley?
Something of that nature, perhaps.
Yeah, okay.
Dan Seals, the Democrat, does have a 2-point lead. The other one, the high-profile race.
Let me interrupt. That's probably right within the margin of error, which means he doesn't have any lead at all. Which is why Democrats are going to have to get out and make sure they go to the polls on this, right?
Very true. But coming into this race, you know, it looked like Kirk had it all wrapped up. The national committees were not putting any money into it. But Seals came out. He had a strong campaign. There was a debate just last week, and the place was filled. 4 overflow rooms, and the whole place, it seems, is for Seals. So,
really? Okay,
very positive.
That's good news. Let's just make sure that Democrats get out and vote. It's not over until it's over. Okay,
right.
Who's next?
In the 8th district, the one that's all over the, almost as high profile as the Duckworth one is Melissa Bean and David McSweeney.
Yeah, now we heard about this today on the news. The VFW has come out in favor of which one?
Well, that's the Duckworth one, where they came out in favor of Roskam, who's...
Yeah, what is up with that? Here's a war veteran, and the VFW won't back her because she's a Democrat?
Makes no sense whatsoever.
Oh, my God.
But Bean currently has a 5-point lead on McSweeney, which is very reassuring. Unfortunately, the only thing keeping her from having maybe a 15-point lead is a guy who I've talked about on this program before, Bill Scheer. Now, Bill claims that he's a Democrat. He ran against Bean in the primary 2 years ago.
Right.
And all his campaign signs say, vote for peace. But he's completely against a woman's right to choose in basically any circumstance, and he's for intelligent design. So to me, he just sounds like another right-wing jerk.
Well, what is he? Is he running as an independent?
As an independent.
Oh, my God.
So it just sounds like another right-wing jerk to me who's in there to take votes away from Bean. So if he weren't in there, Bean would have a huge lead.
Okay, so, but he is. So how is Bean going to overcome this?
Well, currently she still does have a lead on McSweeney, who I can't figure out who's more radical, McSweeney or Scherr, but whatever. If anyone's listening to this program and has been considering voting for Scherr because of his peace stance, understand that he is no Democrat.
Okay.
You need to vote for Bean.
Okay. What else you got?
And the other one is, as we were talking about before, Roskam and Duckworth, and it's pretty much dead even. The campaign ads have been totally filled with lies on Roskam's side. I just saw one a couple minutes ago where he's saying, Tammy Duckworth is for taxing families who lost a loved one. Imagine that, the death tax. They're grieving, and she wants to tax them.
Oh, my God. Oh, I hate these people. Mike, I hate them. I can't tell you, these lying, snaky, filthy Republicans. God, I hate them.
And unfortunately, the numbers are not looking good at all on Hastert and Leish. You would think with Hastert and the whole Foley thing.
Well, what have you got on that?
Hastert up by 10 points.
10 points.
Yep. You would think that it would be closer with all the Foley stuff. And Leish, I think, was on one of the Air America shows last week saying that it was very positive. People were cheering him in the local parades, and people were putting red X's on Hastert campaign signs. But
yeah, he was on our program last night, Mike.
Oh.
Well, that's all right. But, you were busy doing your research, I know.
But,
all right. Well, how do you feel about these results that you've just given us? I mean, what's your general outlook on overall?
I think it's very reassuring because this area used to be a complete Republican stronghold. The only good news out of the last election was Bean's victory over Phil Crane, who was just the old guy who didn't do anything for I don't know how many years. But it was good that this area is really turning. People are seeing the light, finally. And the entire area just seems to be that people are, even the Republicans are saying, well, I'm a Republican, but I don't like how Bush is handling things. And they're starting to get over that Republican no matter what thing.
All right. Listen, Mike, that's good stuff. Thanks. Thanks a lot for checking in. Okay.
All right. Thanks.
And we're going to be on an extra hour Tuesday night, so check in with us then. All right.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. Take care. Will is calling from Lansing, Michigan. Will, welcome to the program. How'd it go with your vigil tonight?
It went great. You're talking about some stuff tonight that I'd love to comment on, but. I was wondering if you have any job openings. I know you've got bureau chiefs. Do you have any openings for anti-war correspondents?
You got it.
Well, consider me your Lansing, Michigan anti-war correspondent.
I'll take it. That sounds good. You got to pass the background check, but, you know.
Okay, well.
Can you prove you're a citizen?
Yes.
Okay. All right, well, we'd love to have you as an anti-war correspondent. How did the demonstrations go?
Well, the vigil. We set up at the in front of the state capitol, and we set up shoes and pictures of Iraqis that have been killed in the conflict, and we had a picture of a wedding party. Next to a pair of white shoes like a bride would wear, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I read a statement when we started the vigil, and I'd like to read it for you.
How long is it?
It's brief.
Okay, go ahead.
In 1991, when America's armed forces were deployed to liberate Kuwait from occupation by Iraqi forces, Dick Cheney, then Secretary of Defense, stopped the military's advance into Iraq when it reached the city of Basra. He did so because he was advised that continuing the advance and attempting to remove Saddam Hussein from power would result in an unwinnable conflict against an opposing force capable of wearing down an opponent through a war of attrition. Today we now know that advice was true. We're involved in a quagmire against an opponent that makes effective use of the Fabian strategy. As a result, as of November 1st, 2006, the state of Michigan has sacrificed 102 of its citizens. We were told that Iraq possessed weapons of mass destruction, but more than 3 years and 7 months after Iraq was invaded, no such weapons have been found. We gather here today to ask our leaders one simple question. How many more have to die for a lie? As we read the names of Michigan's war dead, we stand in solidarity with and support for the families of those who have been killed and wounded, those who are currently serving, and those who are preparing to deploy.
That's a good statement, Mike. I mean, Will. That's a good statement. Hang in there, anti-war correspondent. Thanks a lot for checking in. We'll talk later, okay?
Well, this is evident, yeah. In the American way, you must give and I shall take. I will tell you what is moral and what's just, because I want.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's More Mike Malloy.
It's about 22 past the hour. Have we got any more announcements tonight, Kathy? Tuesday we'll be on an extra hour. Monday is just getting ready for Tuesday, I guess. Is that right? Okay. All right. Let's go back to the phone calls. Let me see here. Joe is calling from Chicago. Joe, welcome to the program. Thanks for your patience.
Hi, Mike. I'm so glad that you're back.
Me too.
I used to listen to you back in WLS days.
Oh, my God. Ancient history.
I'm a truck driver, a union truck driver, too. And but you can't blame all the VFW. They were they took the word of the DuPage County branch, and who, as you know, is a completely right wing up there.
And right, I know, but I would I don't know who cast the votes, so to speak, Joe, to decide who they're going to endorse. If it's just the executive committee, or three or four guys who you know, vote and make this decision, then I think the veterans who are members of these different garrisons should throw them out on their asses. This is ridiculous.
Well, there is a bunch of guys that are upset about it. I could read you a couple of quotes from, well, one from a Kool-Aid drinker and one from the person that's upset, if you like.
Yeah, go ahead if they're quick.
All right, from the Kool-Aid. Yeah, they are quick. From the, he supports a strong defense for our country, but also he'd take care of our local veterans at the same time, said Joe Butis, Wooddale, VFW. And that's the Kool-Aid drinker. And then...
Don't the veterans know in Illinois that Republicans never support veterans?
Well,
never.
Not from Wooddale, anyway.
Oh, my God. All right, who's the other guy?
There was a bunch of people that stood up with her today after they heard that.
Uh-huh.
And this guy here, lost it now. Nobody will be a stronger advocate for them than myself. Oh, that was Tammy Duckworth. But I'm trying to find the quote. Oh, here we are. Yes, it's insulting to all of us who served in the war to come to have this organization support somebody who has never put on a uniform and hasn't done anything for a veteran, said Mike McConnell, veteran for Duckworth. So they stood up and with her today in a news conference, at her own news conference. She wasn't upset about it, but they were. So I just want to let you know, let people know that there are people standing up for her anyway, too. So
I hope. I mean, this reminds me too much of what happened down here to Max Cleland, Vietnam vet, triple amputee, who was defeated through a combination of rigged voting and attacks on his patriotism by this the guy who now has the Senate office, named Saxby Chambliss, who is about as much of a patriot for this country as I am for Kyrgyzstan. I can't stand these people, Joe, when they attack someone, especially someone who's lost an arm or a leg or worse, fighting wars of this country, most of which, if not all of which, since the end of World War II, have been exercises in corporate madness. So, I don't know. Thanks, Joe. Thanks for checking in, all right?
Great to talk to you, Mike.
All right. My pleasure, sir. Take care. Sarge is calling from Mississippi. Sarge, welcome to the program.
How's Molly and Kathy tonight?
They're doing fine, sir. How are you?
I've been avoiding that. How are you, Mike? So tonight I said, okay, I'm going with Kathy and Molly.
Well, you did good.
Okay, now that's over with. I wanted to alert you to some breaking news that's fixing to come down in the next week, and it concerns Walmart.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, they are having some major problems. You know, last week they had some walkouts in Florida because they're trying to reduce the people's working hours to, I believe I heard it was 6 hours a week.
Let me interject something. Do you know, Sarge, I read this the other day, that in China, every single Walmart is unionized. Otherwise, the Chinese wouldn't let them open up in their country. Now, having said that, I'll be the first to admit that unions in China are a hell of a lot different from unions here.
Sure.
But still, every single Walmart in China is unionized because the government there said either do it or you don't open up. Sarge, let me put you on hold. I'll come right back after the break. We got to take a quick break here. I'm Mike Malloy. This is NoVam Radio.
Pissed us off, so we voted for Republicans, a form of suicide.
Republicans suck!
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
It's about 26 before the hour. Back to Sarge, who's called in from the devastated Mississippi coast, not too far from there anyway. All right, Sarge, where were we? Walmart.
Yes, and I'm glad you mentioned that about the coast because that was my next statement. Some of the people down on the Mississippi coast that work for Walmart have become extremely worried that their benefits are going to be slashed, that their hours are going to be cut to almost nothing. And so they're starting to organize. And if Walmart continues this policy, there is going to be even a walkout on the Mississippi coast, which really, that's going to really hurt these people. So unreportednews.net, we have contacted several people down there and have people lined up, and we're passing out the 800 numbers for Head On Radio Network, Nova M, and of course our own 800 number, and we're going to try and keep people updated and let them have live interviews if it comes down. But it is a situation where it's really starting to break, and I think it's going to be a breaking story that's just not getting coverage right now, but it's going to.
Right. Now, what's your website again where people can get the information?
Unreportednews.net.
Okay, unreportednews.net.
And also, I'm working with Cody, Malika, and we are trying to get some information on Josh Wolf. I've got the district attorney's phone number in that area, and he and I are going to have a powwow next week, and I'm going to demand some answers from him. So, you know, you, me, Greg, Brad, hey, we're going to have a lot of fun.
Well, I hope it turns out to be fun. You've been in the military, Sarge. You know that when things get to a point where it's I don't know exactly how to say this. You know as well as I do that war is not fun, and I'm just hoping it doesn't come to that in this country.
Like I was telling one of my correspondents last night. The military trained me to kill, but they never untrained me to kill. So if they want to come play games with me, okay, we'll play.
I know. I hear you loud and clear. All right, Sarge, thanks.
Thank you, Mike.
I appreciate you checking in. Take care. I don't want people to misunderstand here listening to this program that all of a sudden we've turned into some sort of a militia recruiting organization. That's not the intent. But we have watched now for 6 years. While this country has been taken apart by the Bush crime family, we have a huge hole in this country now. The Constitution has been severely tampered with. Detention centers are being built. Torture has been codified into American law. Let's not play games. The CIA has always tortured. But now it is part of the law. George W. Bush has issued signing statements on, 700 bills that he signed, which means he doesn't have to obey the law. This is an outlaw government. Even the neocon rats and pigs who set up the attack on Iraq are now abandoning the ship. Who in the hell is in charge? Certain military commanders have just about had enough. And I'm not talking about retirees. I'm talking about people active. No, we're not trying to sound like macho thugs on this program by any means. But there are people who listen to this program. There are people who have spent a lot of time giving of themselves for the betterment of this country, as far as they saw it, whether that was in the military or not in the military. And there's a lot of people who've just about had enough. How much further can you push a democratic republic like the United States in the way the Bush crime family has been pushing it until it starts to push back? I say we're right on the brink. You know, we said it before, there are four boxes to use in the defense of liberty, and you take them in this order: soap, ballot, jury, ammo. That's the way it's always been, and there's nothing that has changed it tonight. Nothing. So if you're just finding this program, you wonder, what the hell are they talking about? What we're talking about here is what the Bush crime family has done in the past 6 years to the United States. And it's going to come to an end, and it's going to come to an end quickly. Leonard is calling from Glendale, Arizona. Leonard, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
It's an honor to finally get to talk with a person out there. You know, I listen to Dr. Newcomb here and Jeff in Phoenix and Randy Rhodes, and it's just so good to have you back. I can't tell you how frustrating it is to just, you know, I a lot of times I'm a runner. I'll be running back from work with my earphones, and I'll turn on to some of the right-wing stations to hear what they're saying, and I can see where you're going, and I agree with you, even though if we're going to have a revolution, if that were to occur, states like Arizona, it's still divided enough. There's still enough people that are buying and drinking the Kool-Aid that the king is selling them that it's going to be... like you said, it's not going to be pretty. So the options I'm thinking of here basically are, one, the Democrats, you know, on the McLaughlin report, I was watching, basically even the conservatives, I basically agreed that the Senate, the House, and the governors will be taken back by the Democrats. But say that that doesn't occur and the election is stolen, that option is how much farther will people be pushed. If the Democrats do take back both houses and all of these things, and they do something about the crimes that have been committed against the American people by this gangster, this king named George Bush, and his fellow gangsters.
Mm-hmm.
But if they do nothing and the Democrats win and they don't do something about it, I don't want to get ahead of what's going on now. But all I can say is I know here in Arizona, the people at the top of our party, our Democratic Party, had better understand that, you know, it's going to be people like me at the grassroots level that will see that the socialists become much stronger. It won't be called the Socialist Party. That's too unpopular. Probably a term, maybe something akin to libertarian socialist. It'll be like an American kind of thing. So I hope it really doesn't come to that, you know, because, you know, I was in Iraq and I saw what can happen to a whole society gone berserk, especially in a place that could be a utopia with rivers running through it,
mm-hmm.
plenty of the best soil in the world, a place that was the cradle of civilization. And I just I hope it doesn't come to that. But how much more can we take? But I know there's some people that really, really, it's just you can't believe it until you hear them. It's like maybe this is what it sounded like when living in Nazi Germany at the time. People just can't believe that people would actually do the things that were done. And I'm witnessing that now. Everything I've believed in this country, I've fought for, my father, all these people, I'll be damned if I stand by. I've got nothing else to live for. It seems like I'm in this vice right now. I don't want violence. That's why I like listening to Dr. Newcomb, because he helps, you know. But all I'm saying is, you know, and then I hear, I would like to read the report you're talking about. A lot of people, you'd be surprised, don't know. But, you know, babies, you know, not being able to be born in hospitals that could die. You know, there's only so much more we can take. Even with my child that I have, this is all I have left to give now. Everything else has been left. It's almost as if I and many other people are being pushed to this position. And if it comes to violence, then that's the way it's going to be. But I hope it doesn't occur, because I'm quite prepared to give my life. I mean, it's easy to talk, though. It's easy to talk. I mean, when I was driving around over there in Iraq, I was afraid as hell. But I don't know. I've seen my friends die and all these other people die now. And if you can't give your life for this, then what can you? You know, I just say I hope we get these elections and we win and the Democrats do something. Because I got to tell you, my worst nightmare is what is happening in Iraq comes over to here. But I'll be damned if I stand by and watch fascists. You know, everything this Constitution is for now is being overthrown. Hearing Bush is no different than hearing a king. So, and you know they're listening to us. You know that, and they're preparing to say that people that will, you know, if insurrection or rebellion occurs, they're preparing to say, hey, we have a right to lock these people up, and really now we can suspend their habeas corpus. You know. So
right.
They're listening. They're setting the camps up, and these fascist pigs are listening. But you know what? This time they're not going to walk over this damn liberal. You know, they can throw all their damn lies out they want. But if they want blood, they're going to have it. And I'm not for violence. But if they come looking to take away my Constitution and the rights and my fellow Americans' constitutional rights, then they're going to get what they're looking for. I don't want any of these things to happen. But I'll be damned if the Democratic Party doesn't do something about this. If they do win and they don't do anything about it, this military-industrial complex has got to be ended. The way we appoint generals has to be looked into. Right now, people are talking nice about the highest-ranking generals. I care about my fellow soldiers. We soldiers in the Army have a saying. When a general, when an officer becomes a general, he or she becomes a politician. And right now, I view them as selling out their ethics, as selling out their responsibility to their men, saying it's all for the mission. But in reality, it's to get another star on their shoulders. And now they want to start backtracking like the rats they are to get off the ship. So anyways, thank you for letting me go on.
Well, Leonard, that was very eloquent. And I'll tell you what, pal, if God forbid, but if the barricades go up, I hope I'm right next to you.
Thomas Jefferson was right.
You take care. Take
thank
care,
you,
Leonard.
Thank you,
sir. All right. I just can't believe that it's come to, in this country, that we have to have a conversation like that. We'll be back after the break.
I feel very comfortable in the job because I've got great advice and advisors to whom I get good advice from, great advisors to whom I listen.
No, it's not even funny anymore. It really isn't. It's 10 before the hour. Cynthia and I will be co-hosting on election night at least for an hour from midnight to 1 Eastern time, which will be, what, Kathy, 10 till 11 Phoenix time. I'm looking forward to that. Thanks to our crew tonight. The program was engineered in Phoenix by Billy Foster. Kim Macias is our associate producer. She handled your phone calls. Also, Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Mark Marshall, Ben Birch of White Rose Society archives the program. Podcasting and downloads of this program are now available at novamradio.com. Our executive producer is Catherine Bay. If you're doing anything this weekend, make it political. If it's getting out the vote, Kathy and I, when is it, Sunday? We're going over to Steve Sinton, who is running for Congress in the 4th District here, which is that fascist Newt Gingrich's old district. They're having a like an old Truman kind of whistle stop, going from precinct to precinct with cars, people honking horns and waving and getting out, and Steve will get out and give speeches. You know, he's we don't live in his district, but we are trying to make sure that Steve Sinton defeats a sitting Republican in one of the collar county districts here in the Atlanta area. So whatever you do, if it's you know, phone calling, working voter lists, this has got to happen. This has got to happen. All right, let's go back to your phone calls. Barbara is calling from Seattle. Barbara, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hi, Mike. Geez, it's sure good to hear you again.
Thank you.
In one of the breaks, I don't know if you can hear the audio from those, but they talked about a website, and it's called Texas Border Watch. And the website is texasborderwatch.com. And you and me, actually I did, can register and log in and watch one of 8 border cams.
I heard that.
Yeah. So I logged in. All I want is an email address. We'll get a free one from Yahoo or Hotmail. Pick any city and state. Doesn't have to be your real one. It'd be better if it wasn't.
Yeah.
So I can sit here now and I can report suspicious activity.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that wonderful? You can sit anywhere in the comfort of your living room in who knows where and watch for suspicious activity and keep these people on this. The site says securing the border for the people of Texas.
Oh, God. If it weren't for the fact that we have criminals running the country and we have a corporate class that wants illegal immigrant labor because it can't unionize, it can't organize, it's easy to manipulate, that's the issue. If corporate America would pay $9, $10, $12, $14 an hour for jobs that certainly deserve that much, then every single job available in this country would go to an American worker. I don't know what the hell, I don't know what to think. I don't know what to say, Barbara. I really don't.
Well, I guess since Texas was left off of the big fence, this is their solution.
Oh, Texas doesn't have part of the fence?
I think it starts, I don't know.
Probably in, down around Tucson.
Yeah, I think it's excluding, you know, for sure part of Texas and maybe part of California. I don't know.
You know, and I've said before, my grandparents came to this country from Italy. They were dirt poor. They weren't my grandparents when they came here. They didn't even know each other. But they both worked their way over here. My grandfather when he was 15, my grandmother, I think, when she was 13. And they eventually met and they got married and yada yada. But they were... In the way it was conducted back then, they were made legal, and So in my family, I only have to go back to my grandparents, both of whom are deceased right now, but I only have to go back that far to find people who actually came to this country. I believe in legal immigration. I really, really, really do. I don't believe a country should just have open borders. As long as we're going to declare ourselves a geographic entity, then we've got to define that. I believe in lots of immigration because that's how this country was founded. That's what made it, what has made it great. Each wave of immigrants who's come here from Eastern Europe, from Africa, and so many people came from Africa were dragged here in chains. But I'm talking about people that came voluntarily. Southeast Asia, Asia, wherever they've come from, they've added so much to the tapestry that is American life. And I believe in immigration. I also believe in legal immigration. As far as illegals, so-called, who are here that have a baby, I think punishing that baby by one of the topics we talked about tonight is just horrifying,
yeah.
Absolutely horrifying.
It's one of the worst things I've heard.
But I hope if I were a praying man, which I'm not, I would pray that we would get some legitimate, conscious leadership in this country that will look at some of these problems, and one of which is immigration. There are solutions to these problems. We are not helpless. The Republican Party wants us to believe we're helpless. The Republican Party wants us to believe that we have to rely on them for solutions. That's bat squeeze. It's not true. There are all sorts of solutions to these problems. So I hope things can turn around, Barbara. Oh, my God, I do. As far as these cameras, I mean, how sick is that, huh?
It's pretty darn pathetic.
Yeah, I think so.
It's pretty darn pathetic. Do I have time to toss in one more?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thing?
Absolutely.
One of our candidates out here, Republican, of course, going up against Maria Cantwell, has his solution for Iraq. And I just wanted to run it past you. It's pretty simple, according to him.
We got 30 seconds. Go.
Okay. Beat the terrorists, partition the country if we have to, and bring our troops home in victory. About 2 weeks should cover it, I think, don't you?
Yeah, except it's their country. We have no business partitioning anything. I like the part about bring the troops home. We have no business being there whatsoever. Thanks, Barbara.
Thank you, Mike.
Appreciate your call. You take care. Have a good weekend. All right, folks. Thanks for participating in the program tonight and this week. I appreciate it. You've made our transition back to working talk radio easy. Thanks. I'll see you Monday. Take care. All right? Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.